RTE2FM. Now, I want to talk about something because the taboo on miscarriages has apparently been lifted, or has it? So we've heard of famous people who have had one, but does that really mean we're talking about them? Do you know what it feels like to have one? Do you know that it can be a medical emergency? That despite so many women experiencing one, there are still so few answers as to why they happen. Because for this most difficult of experiences, we're still largely in the dark. Well, health and science journalist and author Jenny Ag hopes to end all that and just get us all talking, and her incredible book, Life Almost, will do just that. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you. Why did you want to write this book?
Well, I mean, I felt like I couldn't not write this book, really, because it came from my own personal experience. I had 4 miscarriages in the space of about 18 months. And we never found any reasons why, despite testing and lots of tests, and actually there's so little known about miscarriage, and actually I was shocked by how little I knew myself before I had my first miscarriage, and that's me speaking as a health and science journalist, which made me feel quite stupid, really. And then actually, as time went on, I realized that it wasn't just me. Lots of people felt the same way. I didn't know, for example, that sometimes you have to have surgery after a miscarriage. I think I assumed that after that first miscarriage, because I am, I was a reasonably young woman, I was healthy, though I wasn't a smoker, not all those things they tell you to do in pregnancy. I'd done all those things. I thought that meant I was safe, for want of a better word. So I really thought that somebody, when they're there telling me that that there was no heartbeat on the ultrasound screen, that they might kind of go, we need to look into this. We need to, run this test or check this, and they just kind of said, it's one of those things that happens all the time. And I didn't know how common it was either. I've been writing about this now for quite a few years, and I've, written my book, and people still say the same things, which is that they'd heard about, they knew, people literally know what a miscarriage is. They might even know somebody who's had one, mm-hmm. but when it actually happens to them, it just opens up this whole kind of alternative reality, really, of like, how do we expect people to put up with this?
It's funny, Jenny, because when I heard we were doing this, I said, we've talked about miscarriages quite a lot on this show, to be honest with you, but always the emotional side. And then when I was speaking about it to friends, we're like, yeah, do we ever really talk about, like, do we know what happens medically and what happens in that moment in time when you're going through the miscarriage? No, it's not widely talked about. So, so many articles claim that they are lifting the taboo about miscarriages, and we often hear about a famous person who's had one, or we know someone or a friend. But many of us, women, especially, still have no idea what it's like, what it feels like, and how it will impact you. But why is that?
It's a very good question. It took me a whole book to try and answer it. I think you're exactly right in that we've started talking about the emotional side of it. And I think, people sharing their own stories of what that felt like, and, that grief, that kind of very strange, ambiguous grief that people don't understand very well, that's really important. And I think, those stories help validate the way you feel.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there is this whole other element to that experience, which is a medical one, a kind of scientific understanding. And actually, that, to me, it was the part that was really shocking. It was like, how can this keep happening to me? And there's no explanation. There was nothing, for want of a better word, there was nothing wrong with me. I didn't. And there's just very little research. There's very little that's known. And it's a complicated thing because it's partly because pregnancy is hard to research mm-hmm. full stop. It's partly because, you know, there's still this kind of squeamishness about periods and menstruation. And it's just, you know, you hear even researchers being, stories about things like researchers being unwilling to collect samples from women of their menstrual blood because, it's just squeamishness. It's not really but when you think about it, that's an incredibly important, that's the lining of the womb. That's going to be really important biologically to understand what happens in earliest pregnancy. And we've just not, it's not really happened. And I think
it's frightening when you put it like that, Jenny. It is frightening to think from a medical perspective. There's a lack of stats and figures on miscarriages, and there's been little progress in finding out what actually causes, especially for someone like you. I mean, people go through it once, sometimes twice, sometimes three times, four times, five. I mean, we hear these stories, and the fact that we don't know why. And it's so common. And I suppose it always goes back to, as well, just a little thing like, we never tell anybody we're pregnant till the second trimester. And I always have a problem with that, because if it is lost or a miscarriage happens, that person comes into work, we don't know what they're going through. And there's a grieving process for that as well, that they're probably... from society not allowed go through, because it's like, well, it didn't happen, we didn't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I think it's a bit of a let's pretend it's not happening. And the irony is that we have that kind of 12 that convention, that kind of 12 week rule.
Yes.
Precisely because it's like, well, it's early, something might happen. But it's like, but we don't really think about, well, but what if something does happen? What will I need, or, you know, will I be able to go to work? We just kind of try and not think about it. But actually, it really does mask, I think, how common it is, which means we've not really normalized it. We don't know what to say to people when it happens. Workplaces are still kind of not really on top of that. I mean, there's been some progress, and I think some employers are doing mm-hmm. great things around
yes.
kind of miscarriage leave and things like that. But it's, you know, it's not, we're not used to it. It's not familiar.
I ask you, someone who's been through it, when you were going through it the first time, what shocked you the most, you know, as a medical professional that you didn't know?
What shocked me the most? The first time what shocked me the most was kind of how, and I don't use this word lightly, but how traumatic that physical experience was. Because I think I'd probably heard people kind of throw around word like, you know, it's just a heavy period, or, you know,
yeah.
things like that. And I think I'd somehow in my imagination, I think I thought that the pregnant, if I had a miscarriage or the pregnant, you know, that something happened that we talk about, I think I thought the pregnancy would just stop or just sort of fade away. I didn't really, I had to go to A&E. They were very worried about how much blood I was losing. Mm-hmm. And not every miscarriage is like that. So that, you know, there are two sides to this coin, but I think that was it really. And actually that then has a, that the shock of that physical experience has ramifications as well, because, you know, there's now very good evidence that I think it's one in five women experience symptom, you know, they meet the criteria for PTSD after a miscarriage. And when you think about how common an experience miscarriage is, we should be able to care for people so that, you know, it's always going to be a difficult experience if a pregnancy is wanted, but we should not be leaving people with something, you know, psychological symptoms akin to PTSD. I mean, that is kind of, that is shocking, really.
It is shocking.
And there's also some research that's shown that it's not as many, but quite a significant proportion of partners experience something similar as well. I mean, this is a really shocking, potentially traumatic experience for people with the way things are currently, with the way it's treated, and kind of how prepared people are for it and how they're, yeah, how they're cared for when it happens.
Did you take much time off work afterwards and physically afterwards? So how are you feeling?
For me, it's been different every time. Right. So the first time I took about a week off, and that was at my boss's suggestion. I was honest about it. I didn't know whether I should be, because I think there's that fear, isn't it? You know, I didn't have other children. So, you know, we all know that that sometimes workplaces they're not always that kind to women who start families. Mm-hmm. And so there is that fear of, you know, if I basically announce that I'm trying to conceive, that I want to start a family, is that going to put the brakes on my career, or, you know, am I going to be thought of differently? And that's very difficult if you are not actually pregnant anymore. So there was all that swirling around, but I was open with my workplace, and actually they kind of insisted that I take at least a week. But then other times, I went back to work pretty much straight away after I've had what's known as a missed miscarriage, which is where you don't know anything is wrong until a scan, and then it's diagnosed there by the midwife or sonographer or doctor. And actually, it reached a certain point where I thought I couldn't just sit around with this. I think that was my kind of third and fourth. But I just needed the distraction.
Sure, sure. Is it true? It says in the book you talk about some miscarriages can and should be prevented. Can you explain what is it? A euploid miscarriage? Okay, that's something I've never heard of before.
Oh yeah. So this is quite kind of that's the kind of clinical term for it. So I think most people are told, either by kind of the doctors or people they see when they have the miscarriage, and also probably by relatives and friends, like, oh, you know, just one of those things. I think we kind of assume that miscarriage is always happens because there's something wrong with that pregnancy that means that it would never have made it, that it could never have been viable. I think that's a really strongly held belief. But actually, there's some evidence that, and this, there's a section in the book where I interviewed a researcher who, you know, he talks about this a lot, which is that about half of miscarriages are actually of what's known as euploid pregnancies, which it means genetically healthy or normal, for want of a better word. So they're not, as far as they can see, there's nothing with the embryo or the fetus that would mean the pregnancy couldn't continue. But for some reason, a miscarriage happens anyway. So that, I think, is, again, that's something I didn't really know. And it was kind of is the opposite of what I think had been implied.
Sure.
When I had my first and second miscarriage, was that, you know, that could never have continued. And actually, you often don't find out. Most people will not know either way. It's not kind of routinely tested for. And also,
which is traumatic in itself as well, I suppose, and you have to grieve that. And, you know, never knowing really what happened, I suppose, is really difficult to deal with as well, I would presume. We seem to have lost Jenny. We'll try and get her back. I just want to say, I know this is a really difficult conversation, and especially if you've gone through this, but I think it's a really, really important conversation to have. I'm already getting lots of texts into 51552. Somebody texted me saying, I had a miscarriage on my first pregnancy and I was devastated. But on the Monday morning when I went into work, I said to myself, I won't say anything to my boss. And as the day went on, I wasn't doing well. So I said it to my boss, and all I got from her was, I'm sorry, you'll be fine now, back to work. What was so hard is that I work in a creche, and I thought my boss would have been more sympathetic. Do we have Jenny back on the line? Jenny, sorry, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Jenny. Sorry.
I'm back.
That's okay. I got a text in. I don't know if you heard there from a woman who went into work after a miscarriage and was struggling through the day, said it to her boss, and the boss said, well, I'm sorry that happened to you. You know, get back to work and kind of get on with it kind of thing. What are things that other people say also that are unhelpful and just show a general lack of knowledge that, you know, pervades around miscarriage?
Yeah, so I mean, there are so many. I think in every chapter of my book, the title of the chapter is kind of an unhelpful thing that people say. So people say things like, at least it was early, or at least you can get pregnant, mm-hmm. or it wasn't meant to be, or there was probably something wrong with it, or, you know, these are all, or even when people are trying to be, you know, very sympathetic, a lot of the times people aren't trying to be hurtful when they say those things, they're just trying to reassure you. But even when they say things like, it's really common, you know, it kind of makes you feel like, but, you know, I feel it sort of, it makes you question whether you're right to feel the way that you do.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah.
I was really surprised by the depth of the grief that I felt, really, particularly that first time when I really didn't expect, I really believed I was going to have a baby. We were starting our family. And then that's slightly different when you're pregnant again. If you've had previous miscarriages, I think you're always slightly, you're slightly braced for that bad news. But that first time, and so then the grief, so when people are saying, oh, it's really common, you're like, oh, do other people just kind of
get on
and carry on? And the reality is people do get up and carry on, and we often have no choice. But that doesn't mean people aren't carrying that pain and that
grief
around with them.
I got a text in, another text saying, very triggering this morning. Will never be over the emotional side of my miscarriage due to how I was treated medically. It's a very, very, very traumatic experience, and it's very important to have this conversation. Thank you for that. What are the treatments that are now available for some women who have experienced recurrent miscarriages? And are we, like, way behind on this?
I mean, yes, I think that. So there was a big series of research papers published in 2021. And I think within that, although there are sort of lots of different options and the treatments are going to vary slightly depending on what reasons they find, if any, for the miscarriages. But there's no single treatment with like the best quality evidence for it. So there, you know, one of the common things that people find is kind of blood clotting disorders, which can be treated with blood thinning medication sometimes. But for an awful lot of people like me, they don't find a reason in the first place. And then what you do treatment-wise is quite complicated, because often they can't offer a treatment if they don't know what they're treating. One thing that is, I'm talking about the medical guidance in England, so I'm aware that's slightly different. But
sure.
The progesterone, there's now good quality evidence that progesterone can help if someone has had previous miscarriages and are then bleeding in a subsequent pregnancy. And that now, that's a treatment here that is in our kind of the NHS guidance. So, which is, you know, they have a pretty high threshold for when they can offer a treatment.
Okay.
But for a long time, you know, when that only changed after my fifth pregnancy. So for a long time, you know, even after we'd had all our investigations, after our third miscarriage, because like lots of places around the world, you don't really get any investigations until after your third miscarriage in a row.
After your
third miscarriage, yeah. In some places it's after two, and there's a kind of argument in the kind of medical community and in sort of some research papers say it should be two, but most places it's after three in a row, which is incredibly difficult, really, because you're in a kind of limbo and you don't want another miscarriage, but also there's that thought of, well, at least then they might look into it and I might get an answer, and you kind of feel that you feel a bit like it, trying to get pregnant again might be kind of doomed to fail, really. It's a really tricky, difficult emotional place to be in. And even then, as was the case for us, all the tests came back normal, and we were told, just try again.
Still,
I mean, we
no
were told
answers.
That with kindness, but it feels like you're losing your mind, because by that point, by kind of three, four miscarriages, you just can't really believe that things will be different.
I'm just going to read out a couple of texts. A lot are coming in to 51552. Jen, I have had three miscarriages and I will never forget ringing on one of those losses. I rang the midwife in the UK I had and was told to put your feet up and let nature take its course. Those words have been with me over the years. That's from Nicola. Another texter said, I had a miscarriage and I already had a 2.5-year-old. I began to spot a cramp, so I went to A&E. What I didn't realise was how long it would take to be over. I assumed I'd be in there, but they left me for 3 weeks. None of my family knew, but Doc advised to get my mom to say to stay for a few days in the hospital. To my surprise, I got pregnant straight away again after. The best surprise, and I was so lucky, but I would always think of who that baby might have been. They're coming in, a lot of texts coming in from women who've gone through this. This book is for everyone. You want everyone to read this book. Why is that?
Because I think we just don't really understand this experience that is so common. I mean, you know, the text messages coming in to you show so many people go through this, and there's, you know, all these kind of incredibly difficult, sometimes traumatic experiences that are just kind of hidden away, and we just don't want to think about it too much, and then we don't want to do. We're not doing anything to improve that, and there are so many things in so many aspects of this experience that could be improved upon, whether that's care when somebody goes into hospital when they're in the midst of a miscarriage, or afterwards with their workplace, or with the kind of things that people say. I mean, one of those messages there said about, you know, let nature take its course.
Yeah.
We have this really strong idea when it comes to miscarriage that it's just nature's way. But loads of things in medicine are just nature's way, you know, and we don't accept them.
We research them, we do all kinds of things. We try and make sure it doesn't happen again. We educate ourselves,
We wear glasses when our eyesight fails. We just don't accept it. And yet with this, for some reason, we don't want to look at it too closely. And it's doing people a disservice, women and their partners as well.
I just want to read out this text that kind of sums up everything. I went for a scan on my own. My partner was looking after my toddler. I was told the baby was gone and to come back in a few weeks to make sure everything clears out itself. Quote, health system fails women here every day. I called in sick one day in a job I had worked as a manager for many years, and the owner of the company docked my pay. So we need to be better everywhere. In the workplace, as friends, as family, medically. I mean, we've had a huge reaction already to this because it happens so often, unfortunately. And yet women still having to deal with the grief, the PTSD, the work situation, and really not having a clue what happens medically during or after and what to do.
No.
The book is Life Almost. It's a fascinating and a really important book for anyone to read. It's available now. Jenny, I just want to thank you so much for coming on and speaking so open and honestly about your own experience and raising awareness. I think it's a difficult conversation, but a really important one. So thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. I'm very grateful for wanting to talk about this today.
Anytime. Jenny Ag, thank you so much. The book, again, is called Life Almost. You can keep your text coming into 51552. I'll read every single one of them. And thank you, Jenny, again, for being so amazing and honest. That wasn't easy. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.